You know, I think of back in the 1950s, I was just a little guy, so I didn't know too much about it, but there was five young missionaries here from the States. One of them's name was Jim Elliott. The other was Nate Saint. You know some of those names. And they went down to Ecuador to preach the gospel to the Aka Indians. And, you know, those five young men were murdered. They were killed. And these were bright young men who had been to Bible school. You know, Jim Elliott, you know, he was a student of the Greek and was very energetic and on fire for the Lord. They had their whole life ahead of them, the things they could have done for the kingdom of God, and they were cut off. And humanly speaking, we would say it was a tragedy. In fact, it really shook up the church when that happened. It was in the newspapers, and people said, why, God, why? Why did you allow that? And then I think of Robert Murray Machine in Scotland in the 1800s. He was a young preacher in the Free Church of Scotland. And revival broke out under his preaching in the 1800s. And thousands of people came to Christ through his preaching. You know, he's the one that wrote that hymn. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ in glory, looking over life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I know. But at the age of 29, he caught a fever, and he died. And the whole church in Scotland and Great Britain as a whole were totally flabbergasted. God, why? Why? The revival that was happening, many people were saying. And so these types of questions, brothers and sisters, we can't always, like, I can't give you like a, you know, a straight out answer, except that God is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, if you were to be caught up to heaven, and if you were there and you saw James there, if you walked up to him, would you say to him, oh, James, and he's standing there beside the Lord Jesus with his martyr's crown, it was such a tragedy that you were murdered. Really? Really? No, it's not a tragedy. There's no tragedies under God. No tragedies under God. And so we see, as we move on here in verse 4, when Herod had apprehended Peter, he put him in the prison there. And it says in our King James Bible, Easter, and that's a little bit of a Anglican bias there, who wrote the translated the Bible into the but we'll draw a discreet veil over that. So verse 5, it says, it's actually Passover. The Jews don't celebrate Easter. They celebrate Passover. Okay. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Unceasing prayer. Now, I wonder, what were they praying? What were they praying for? Lord, make it quick. Make Herod's sword sharp. Lord, get him out somehow. Deliver your servant. My feeling is that they were praying for his release. And we'll see their response as we go on. But we get in verse 6, it says, but when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Peter was sleeping. And I mentioned earlier about Peter's sleep issues. And I just want to stop here just for a moment. Peter was sleeping. How could Peter be sleeping on his execution night? Now, most prisoners on their execution night are not sleeping. Right? They're pacing, or he's chained between two soldiers here, but I know I would be sleeping. I'd probably be fretting. But Peter was sleeping. How could he sleep on his execution night? Because it says that Herod actually was on the way. That very night, it says, at the end of verse 4, the very night he was intending to come. So Herod's horsemen were on the way to get Peter and bring him to jail and have him executed on Passover day. But Peter was sound asleep. And, I mean, there's several possible answers for that. One is he'd been in the situation before. We read that in Acts chapter 4. Him and some of the other apostles were in jail, and an angel came along and delivered them out. That's one explanation. Another explanation we may find in John's Gospel, chapter 21, if you want to turn to it. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. John 21. Verse 18 says, "Truly, truly, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to Simon Peter after his death and resurrection. Truly, truly, I say unto you, when you were young, you used to dress or gird yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you did not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. This was to signify the type of death, that he would glorify God. And so we get here, the Lord Jesus told Simon Peter that, actually in the passage, he's explained to Peter how and when he would die. He says, when you are old. So Peter is in his jail cell. He's thinking, well, you know, I'm in my mid-20s, early 20s, and the Lord said I would die when I'm old, so maybe it's not my time to go. Maybe the Lord's going to rescue me somehow. And the other thing is, the Lord told Peter not only when he would die, he told him how he would die. Because he says, what does he say in the passage? When you're old, you'll stretch out your hands. That's the cross. Now, church tradition says he was crucified upside down. We don't know about that, but we know about this, because the Bible said it. And the Bible says, you'll stretch forth your hands. In other words, Peter, you'll die like I died. He was going to drink the cup that the Lord drank, and he was going to be baptized with the baptism that the Lord was baptized with, as well as John and James. Amazing, isn't it? And so he would die by crucifixion, but Herod had killed James with the sword. So Peter could think, James is doing this with the sword. The Lord said I'd be crucified, so maybe it's not my time to go. Maybe he was adding all these things up and relieved his mind a little. I mean, killed by the sword or crucified, you know. I met a brother up in an assembly in Ontario, and he was from Iraq. And he had been a Muslim, and he had been the top, one of Saddam Hussein's top guys, right? And somehow he got on the bad side of Saddam, and so he had to flee Iraq. He ended up in London, England, was converted to Christianity, and came to Canada. He ended up in an assembly in Ontario. So I was talking to him. You know, sometimes every people, when they tell you the name, they tell you what the name means. And so I introduced myself. He introduced himself. He said, my name is Saif Adin. I said, okay. He says, that means sword. But when he said that means sword, he went like this. That means sword. So, okay. Okay. What does that mean? You know, like, am I okay? You know. Anyway, that's just a side point. But, I mean, were you going to be crucified or have your head cut off? You know, I guess probably that part would be better, you know. But Peter, the thing is, he's asleep. And this is my take on it. And that's just a little bit of sanctified imagination. And sometimes it gets a little, but we'll just go with it a little bit here, okay? Is that Peter had sleep issues. Peter had sleep issues. In other words, he could sleep anywhere, anytime. You know, when I'm on an airplane, you're going overseas, and I got people that are sleeping beside me. You know, you hit turbulence. How can these people sleep, you know? Some people have no issue sleeping. My friend Steve back in Dartmouth, you know, you can talk to him, you turn around, he's out, just like that. You know, he's just sleep anywhere, anytime. And, you know, with Simon Peter, when he was on the earth in his ministry with the Lord Jesus, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he fell asleep. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he fell asleep. He had sleep issues. He had no problems. And that's really what I think it is. He was tired. I need my sleep, you know. He could just put crucifixion or death or martyrdom right out of his mind, you know. Because he was tired. He needed his sleep. That's my little spin on it. But, you know, I said this to the folks in Dartmouth before. when I was speaking there one time, and that Sunday afternoon meetings, after lunch, ministry meetings, is Death Valley, okay? Right? And I know that some of you, the waves are starting to come over your head right now. So what I said, well, you know, the Spurgeon, the preacher in England, back another 1800 guy in England, great gospel preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, he said that if he had his way, he would ban every afternoon meeting in England. Because the Englishmen, they have roast beef and Yorkshire pudding for lunch, and then they all fall asleep in the afternoon meeting.